This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, once again, we're speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the last decade. Martinez has been an adjunct professor for nearly 14 years, engaging in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations, as well as continues to see a small caseload of individual and couples clients through telemental health services. Her large catalog of articles for the Huffington Post and EverydayPower.com can be seen in the show notes from her work as a contributor for both publications. And today's topic is changing the way we think about asking for help, breaking the stigma, and seeing it for the show of strength and self-care it is. And Dr. Martinez, great to have you back on here on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
Yeah, certainly great to have you back on with another series of interviews. So for starters today, your topic alludes to the fact that so many people struggle with asking others for help. What are some of the reasons that that is so difficult for so many people? Let's start there.
Well, this is a really common problem. I think all of us struggle with it a little bit, but some people really have a problem with it. And there's a lot of reasons. Some of them are that they've convinced themselves that they should be able to work things out on their own without the aid of others. Another reason is the stigma of it, whether this is perceived that others think this of them or it's self-imposed. And they've decided that they can't ask for help based on how others view them. There's the belief system that they have, and this can be based on their upbringing or cultural norms. Some cultures believe that you don't ask for any help outside the family, or you don't talk about your problems outside the family and go to others for help. This can be access to other individuals and services. The belief that only people that have serious problems ask others for help, or that they are doing that comparison where my problems aren't as big as anybody else's, so I shouldn't have to ask for help. This can be pride. I should be able to handle this, and that ties back into that comparison game again. Embarrassment that they have this problem, and so they've let things snowball out of hand, and so they are too embarrassed and ashamed to ask somebody. But if we remove that shame associated with asking for help, it becomes a lot easier. A lack of a skill set. A lot of people, it's not like we have a class growing up teaching us how to ask for help, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit about different ways that we can ask for help. They can contend with insecurities and feelings about asking for help and admitting that they need it. And then really, finally, we have sort of this real individualistic society that frowns upon us asking for help and looks at it as a sign of weakness. And so seeking makes people feel like seeking it is looked down upon or abnormal. And so really getting past that and teaching people that it's actually a huge sign of strength. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the interview about how the most successful people actually in the world are those who not only seek help, but they seek the best kind of help and they thrive from it and lift those people up.
Some good information to get things underway here today. Now, you noted that an individual who really struggles with this might have to ask themselves some tough questions and admit some things to themselves as well. What are some of those questions that you would suppose that they would be asking?
But they really have to ask themselves first, can I do this myself? And even if they go back and forth about this, if they finally come to the point where they have to acknowledge to themselves, no, then they have to ask them, what parts of this do I need help with? That can be a small part, it can be all of it. They have to ask themselves, what's outside my area of expertise? What can I give up control over? As a micromanager myself, I can relate to that. Can I prevent myself from micromanaging the help I ask for? And I can relate to that a lot. As somebody who loathes group projects, I get that so much. Can I be grateful and gracious for the help that I get and that I received if it's not done exactly as I would have done it? These are important questions. Once that they admit that they need help, the hardest step a lot of the time, once they get past that, They need to make a list of what needs to be accomplished. You don't want to just ask for help, and then when you ask for it, be like, huh, I have no idea what I need help for, and be really messy. Once you know what it is, you can break things down into small and manageable steps. And then if you need to go to one or more people, it's going to be a lot easier to get that help if you're giving somebody sort of a small puzzle piece to accomplish versus a whole laundry list of things. And that things don't seem as overwhelming when you can give somebody just a little small task to do, and they don't feel like you're burdening them, and you don't feel like you're burdening them as much. And they'll also be impressed that you are so well organized, or at least you hope they will. And they'll be grateful that it's not as overwhelming. You also want to make sure that the request that you're asking them for fits that individual's strength. You don't want to go to a dentist and ask them for heart surgery. You don't want to go to a mechanic and ask them to do your taxes. You want to make sure that you're going to the right fit for the right skill set that they're doing. And you want to be sure that the help and the input, and you don't want to make the person that you're asking for help feel inept, because if they're wanting to help you, you don't want them to feel like they can't, or that they're going to let you down now. And this not only helps, but it also, when you get the right person for the right favor and the right strength, and you let them know you're going to them because you think that they're so good at it, you can actually make them feel good about what you're doing and why you're coming to them. And you also want to carefully consider the environment that you're asking someone for a favor in, because while we have the right to, and we should ask people for help, they also have the right to tell us no. And so you don't want to ask somebody if we want to increase our chances of getting the help that we want. We don't want to ask somebody sort of like in front of a big group of people and put them on a spot, because they may tell us yes, but they may not want to tell us yes. And so we want to give somebody always the opportunity to have, we talked about it in our last series of interviews, that off-ramp. We want to give them that opportunity to tell us no, or even sometimes initially in a situation where somebody does tell us no, they may actually come back and tell us yes, but we want to give them the chance to think about it and have that grace. And then at the end of the day, after somebody gives us help, we want to show a ton of gratitude for helping us no matter what. And then that'll make people more likely to want to help us in the future.
Good tip shared for sure. Thank you for that. Now, you also note that people should start to understand that asking others for help and for what they need is a strength, and that not doing so is abandoning ourselves. So could you explain what you mean by that? I'm sure listeners would appreciate that.
Yes, there was actually a great post on Somatic Experience this week that talked about this. And when we don't ask for help, and they talk about that we abandon ourselves, it's things such as when we don't communicate our needs, we are saying both to ourselves and to others that we are not important. We are not important enough to say that we need our needs met. We need this done. We are pushing it aside. We are doing things like talking unkindly to ourselves and saying, I don't need to get that done. I can be put on the back burner. We are doing things like holding back from taking up the space. We're saying we don't think we're worth it. We're getting caught up in comparisons. We're saying that person's needs are more important than mine, or I don't matter. I can wait for me to be taken care of. We're allowing other people to take over our power by letting this person go first. We're not showing up for ourselves. We are avoiding reaching out for help, and we're thinking really we don't matter and we're not a priority.
Certainly a needed topic, and we thank you for bringing this all to our attention. We're speaking with, once again, Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade, and also has been an adjunct professor. For nearly 14 years, she engages in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations, and offers individual and couples consulting via telemental health services. And she's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Health News and Personal Development channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, moving ahead here, what are the various tips you have for listeners in terms of effectively asking for help?
Absolutely. We touched a little bit on some of these just a little bit ago, but some of these we're going to go more in depth. Before you ask, remind yourself about the rights at stake. And this I briefly touched on, but that is, we have the right to ask somebody for help, but they have the right to refuse. And so that person has the right to stop and think over your request. So while it can be anxiety provoking when, since we're not used to asking for help, don't demand an answer then. Let them stop and think about it again. And often, a lot of the time, they will come back and tell us yes, but don't push them for an answer that second, even though it can be an anxiety provoking situation. Ask specifically for what you want and ask out loud. Don't just hint at what you want. They can't read your mind. And don't be general and let them drag it out, because the other person cannot read your mind. They can't figure it out. Or if they sort of surmise a general thing, you may not get what you need. Ask a specific person versus sending out a general plea for help by a general email or group text when necessary, or they feel obliged to call. This is known as the bystander effect, when somebody jumps in and says, "I'll do it." So in that way, either nobody responds, or somebody who doesn't have the skill set for what you need may respond. And by nature, you say, "Okay," but you're not getting what you need. You want to ask in person or via phone if you can. Again, this research actually indicates that you significantly reduce the chance of being turned down if you do it that way versus asking by text or email. And remember, the refusal that you initially get is often temporary. Somebody who initially refuses your request may be willing to help at a later date. We often don't know what is going on in that moment or in someone's life. And that's why I mentioned earlier that the person who may initially refuse may actually come back and say they'll do it. But we all, every single one of us, has a whole world of things going on, and we can't know in that moment what that they may be busy and juggling three different things in that second. And so remember that an initial response isn't always the final response. And after you receive the help that you get, always remember to thank the person, be gracious, and you are more likely to get help in the future. Gratitude is so, so important.
It sure is so important, and glad you brought that up as well. Thank you for that. Lastly, what are some final thoughts you would like to leave listeners with about asking for help?
I wanted to point out something that people often overlook, and that's that the best leaders and the most successful people surround themselves with the best people and the experts in their niche skill areas. They also lift them up and showcase them. They share their success. They've given up the idea of total control and that they must do it all themselves, and that nobody can do it like me, or that nobody's as good as me, because they're not the only one, and they know that this is not true. It makes them wiser, more successful. It frees up their time. And so the most successful people are also gracious, and they acknowledge them. They ask for the help they need constantly, and it makes them better, more successful, stronger. And so they're a perfect example of asking for the help they need, lifting people up, being gracious about them, and thriving for it.
Dr. Martinez, always great to have you with us here on eHealth Radio, and I'm sure listeners would like to know where they could be in touch with you, tap into your services and your resources. Where are the best places to do so?
They can reach me at my website at drnikkimartinez.com. That's drnikkimartinez.com, or at LinkedIn. And it's the LinkedIn address, and it's nikki-martinez. And then I'd love if they checked out both mine and any of the other authors' articles at everydaypower.com. There's a whole catalog of stuff, and I think that they'd really connect with all of the articles that are on the site.
And of course, you can find all this information and links within the show notes of this broadcast. Dr. Martinez, all the best. And once again, we look forward to our next conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade and has also been an adjunct professor for nearly 14 years. She engages in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations, and offers individual and couples consulting via telemental health services. And for all the details, simply visit drnikkimartinez.com. ehealthradio.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.